Talk Radio thanks you for being a listener. Did you know you too can host your own radio show with us? Go to our site at latalkradio.com or email info@latalkradio.com right now and start your show today.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk radio station, live in the studios in beautiful Los Angeles. This is your Dr. Michelle here for you. And today, I'm going to be answering your questions. Yep, I always ask you to reach out and, let me know what's going on if you have any issues or, any kind of questions you have about why people do the things they do or why you do the things you do. You know, trying to understand things, people, other issues, better relationships, stress, bad habits. You got nasty habits? Whatever you would like to talk about is cool with me. That's why we're cool, irreverent, and entertaining here on LA Talk Radio. I always invite you guys to email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. That's the place where you can ask your questions. And what I do is I try to select questions that really apply to a whole bunch of folks out there. You know, what I usually hear in much of my private practice here in Los Angeles, a lot of the questions and problems that I cover, the general ones that most of us have issues with, I try to really focus on those because, that'll help a lot more listeners. Also, if you would like to call in live, that is cool, too. That's cool. We're taking live calls today. And it's 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. That's the number, and I'd love you to share with me something on your mind. Again, general questions. And again, I am not your therapist. All right? We don't have a therapy relationship. But what I do is give you ideas, suggestions, things that have worked in the past for other people, and hopefully an array of knowledge that, I can share with you about what I've experienced and seen and that kind of thing. So again, if you'd like to give me a call, cool, we can talk. Or what I can do is just start answering some of these questions here that people have written me on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And some of these questions that I'm going to be answering today deal with, a lot of things that we all think about and deal with. So somebody has an issue with chronic worrying about the what ifs in their life. Their switch is on, and they can't stop, as we call it, ruminating about being ready for all the bad things that could happen in their life. So that's a real common one that I hear. I think we all do it, don't we, to a certain extent? Yes, we do. So we're going to talk about that. Also, a biggie that I hear in my office, and this is from a really cool lady who wrote me, and thank you so much. By the way, I've contacted everyone and told them that I'm answering their questions today. The names will be changed due to confidentiality. But anyway, as I mentioned, we're talking about self-esteem. We're going to help someone with their self-esteem issues, something we all have, unless we're narcissists. But that doesn't necessarily mean narcissists don't have self-esteem that is very low. As a matter of fact, that could be the cause, but there's a lot of other causes. Also, we're going to be talking about how to create a more peaceful, loving relationship. that you may have, or maybe venturing into because you've had some bad relationships in the past. What has happened to you in the past that wasn't so cool? And do you keep messing things up? Is it your deal? Are you the one who's self-destructing? A lot of people I see in my practice just can't keep a relationship going because the moment it gets a little too open and intimate and warm and fuzzy, I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about emotional availability, the ability to share thoughts, things, and just become a little more open with someone. The moment that happens many times with people, they blow up the relationship because it's too scary. It's too scary because what they found was growing up, there wasn't a lot of warm, fuzzy stuff in the home. And there wasn't a lot of positive reinforcement and, you know, just love, basically. So it's very scary to get too close because sometimes we think when we get too close and open and intimate, emotionally and sexually as well, but emotionally, that somebody's going to leave us or hurt us. And also that it's just too scary because we may be just totally too vulnerable. And if we open up our hearts to someone, it's really scary. So we're going to be talking about that as well, because too many of us just do that. Also, a lot of other people, what they do is they jump in to a relationship too quickly. This is what I'm hearing with a lot of people who meet someone who, you know, they've been online dating or they've been meeting friends of friends, whatever it may be. And they find somebody who kind of fits into and checks a lot of boxes that they have in what I call the really would like to have list. So they check the boxes and then they just jump in too quickly into the relationship, women and men. More women than men do this. So you got to just kind of check people out. Take your time. Get to know them. And please don't share all your garbage and your personal stuff at the beginning of a relationship. So we're going to be talking, you know, about all these things and how to help people and like that. Again, the number here is 323-203-0815 here on LA Talk Radio. As a matter of fact, we have a caller. And in the information part of my online Gmail address, straighttalktalk@gmail.com, this person says, I'm calling you about my porn addiction. All right, let's bring them up. Hi, this is Dr. Michelle. Who's this?
Hi, Dr. Michelle. This is Jacob.
Hey, Jacob, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure, sure.
This is a little bit of an awkward subject.
Okay.
I'm a long-time listener. I love everything that you say on your show. It's helped me tremendously throughout my life.
Yeah, great.
I've been listening to you for the past about 6 years.
Wow, and love it. Love to have you here.
Thank you. So I've been married for 3 years, and I love my wife very much.
Nice.
We don't have any kids.
Okay.
And we are both working. Problem is that I think I it's hard to say.
Okay.
I think I have a serious porn addiction. I don't know how to. See, I haven't talked to anybody about this.
Okay.
But listening to your show, I just feel very comfortable. Like I can talk with you and without judgment. So I mustered up the courage to call in, and you know, I just can't stop thinking about porn. I'm very stressed at work, and I'll go online a lot.
Yeah.
I'm always checking other women out and having fantasies, you know, of certain sexual fantasies.
Yeah, that's with most men.
About
and women.
But this is different. This is,
okay.
You know, I've asked my friends, my other guy friends, if they indulge in porn, and some of them say yes, and some of them say they just don't have the time for it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I just, I couldn't, I, realize that this is taking over a really big portion of my life.
Okay.
You know,
hey, Jacob, thank you so much for calling and being so, you know, open and honest about this. This is really, this is a first step, and I'm very flattered that you reached out to me on this, because I do work with a lot of people who have porn addiction. And I just want to know from you how often you're involved in porn, let's say in one day. What are your habits?
Well, I find myself pretty much any time that it's turning into something kind of bad. You know, any time that no one is around, I'll just try to put porn on real quick and try to squeeze it in as quickly as I can.
If you pardon the pun.
Yes. Yes.
Are you at work when you're doing this, Jacob?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay.
Sometimes. Well, yes, all the time. And then when I come home, I will go in the bathroom sometimes and lock the door, say that I'm using the restroom, when in actuality I'll be watching porn. You know, I've managed to keep it from my wife, and I've covered my tracks to make sure that nothing pops up on my computer.
Oh, really?
And I'm really tired of feeling like a slave to this addiction.
Wow.
And I'm always thinking about when can I take a break and go online, you know, and watch porn. And,
right.
And I need help. How can I get help?
Sure. Wow. Again, Jacob, thank you so much for reaching out. It takes courage to do this. It takes really courage to break out of it and want to break out of it, because we do. You're welcome. Just like any addiction, whether it's substance abuse, gambling, whatever, this is something, you know, it's a serious habit. And it's very hard to break. So you have to really consider this as those other kinds of addictions. First of all, think of this as a substance abuse issue. As with many issues that we have, it can be chemical imbalance. We can inherit a lack or a abundance of a certain hormone. Or, again, with substance abuse, we can inherit that mechanism which doesn't allow us to turn off the addiction. So I don't know if you know of any family members who have this issue, but on another level, you know, a lot of times substance abuse and other addictions, especially porn, keep us away and preoccupy our minds for several reasons. So I want to ask you some questions, okay?
Thank you. I would love that.
Sure.
Thank you so much, Dr. Michelle. You're helping me out already. I already feel I'm very excited. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. So here's the deal. I want you to tell me what things emotionally do you worry about and have you shoved down? I know that's a huge order to fill, and you don't have to go into long and detailed, you know, issues, but what are some of the things, if you can, you know, and I really do know that you know things that are bothering you, but you have to bring them to the surface, because what you do is you cover them up with your porn addiction. You satisfy yourself. But this is feeding the mind as a distraction, physiological and mental. So tell me some of the things, you know, that you've had to deal with that are really tough in your life emotionally that you might be avoiding and that are being triggered right now in your life that you're really avoiding. Can you share that with me?
Wow. Yeah, okay. Definitely. Well, when I was in my young early 20s, maybe I was 19, I did have a family member that she was held against her will.
Okay.
You know, she was my cousin.
All right.
And we had grown up together, very, very close. Mm-hmm. She basically acted as a sister,
a
sister I never had.
Okay.
And she was my father's sister's daughter.
Okay.
So when I heard about that, it shattered me.
Okay.
On the inside, and to see her deal with this pain, it's absolutely unbearable.
When you say held against her will, Jacob, do you mean she was sexually abused? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And she shared this with you.
Not like a full, you know, rape or anything, but it was sexual abuse, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. So this was ongoing, and she shared this with you, and you sort of didn't know how to help her or what to do, right?
Yes, and it was actually happening from a family member of ours.
Oh, okay.
I
get the gist. Okay, so this is something that you've been suppressing, and this is a scary thought, because is she doing better now?
Yeah.
Okay.
She is.
All right.
I know that she sees her own therapist. And
okay.
She's
all
been
right.
on antidepressants for quite some time.
Good, good, good for
and
her.
And I think it has a lot to do with this.
Okay. So you cared a lot, and we're like, this was like your sister. And so you went through a lot of her pain because she shared this pain with you. And you suffered for her, which is something else. I think what I was talking about as well is maybe if you could share with me some of the early feelings that you had growing up or issues in your family that you may have shoved down, things about yourself that you may not really love, things that problems beside. And, of course, I'm not making light of this. This is a huge issue that you carried this secret, you know, with you and trying to, let's for all practical purposes say your sister, she's like your sister, you know, had to suffer this abuse for so long, and she shared this with you. I mean, that's really horrific, and you feel helpless, okay? And
yes.
We're going to talk about lack of control and how it's connected to addictions in a lot of ways, but I just also wanted to ask you, you know, about some of the other things maybe that you felt about yourself that were not so wonderful, things that are popping up now as well that you may be associating with those old feelings, triggers now that are happening. Maybe if you can think of some of those things.
Yeah. Well, interesting you bring that up. You know, my wife recently, she started saying, okay, as silly as it sounds, this is going to sound ridiculous, but...
No, nothing sounds ridiculous.
I'm just going to call her my sister for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
My sister and I, growing up, we had this thing with each other where she would always say, oh, see you ASAP. And she would say, I'll be there ASAP. Like her word was always ASAP.
Okay.
Like as soon as possible, right? But she would always say, oh, be there ASAP. And just recently, a few, let's say maybe 6 months ago, my wife started saying ASAP. And I out of nowhere, I don't know. And I heard her say that. And it definitely triggered some older, I think that's really what I'm dealing with. And I don't know how to tell my wife, don't say the word ASAP.
Okay.
Because it reminds me of Cynthia.
Sure.
Who's the name of my sister, or my cousin, who was like my sister's. Her name is Cynthia. So when my wife started saying ASAP, I immediately thought of Cynthia.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought up all of these old emotions. And I know it sounds ridiculous. It's a word that she's saying, and I don't know.
Yeah, well,
and every
you know,
time
words
she says
can
it,
be triggers.
I cringe.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, words can be triggers and stuff like this. So, and also, you know, I guess what I was also getting to were other deeper issues, like things that you don't like about yourself, things you may have been criticized for growing up, put down, feel humiliated, feel like you're not, you know, enough, or, you know, whatever those things sometimes. Those are uncomfortable feelings, just like the uncomfortable feelings you're having now, you know, some of the triggers that are coming up and your connection with your sister. Does your wife know what happened to your sister?
Not to the fullest extent.
Okay, but she knows.
She's aware that...
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. because I think it's really important to share, you know, what we're going through with our loved ones, whether you see a couples therapist or something, to have someone help you, you know, verbalize it so that they can understand, you know, why you're, you know, sad or maybe frustrated in, you know, work or something like that. Let's get back to the addiction to porn. So you've already identified your symptoms, you know, so you think you're getting into the serious addiction territory pretty much?
I do. Okay. It's getting progressively worse, and I find myself thinking about it nonstop. And now it's starting to affect the time in my day. You know,
Absolutely.
I need to carve out time for it.
And
it's multiple times. You know, whenever the addiction arises, it's like a monster that's asking to be fed.
Yeah,
and if you don't feed the monster, then there's serious consequences.
Well, right.
So you got to feed the monster.
Well, this can affect every aspect of your life, of course, because you're keeping it from your wife. You're keeping it, you know, it's interfering with your work, like you said. It may make you angry or irritable if you can't, you know, just like have those times to do the porn because you're not, you know, using your substance or doing your addiction. And, of course, you've lost probably large chunks of time because you've been absorbed, you know, in your addiction. So we have to just know that a lot of really bad things can happen. And I so appreciate you for calling me and, you know, trying to work on this. First of all, get a really good therapist who specializes in porn addiction. Just my idea. Go on psychology. PsychologyToday.com is a wonderful, I don't know where you're calling from, what city you're calling from. It's a wonderful tool. You can just follow the menus and find the person for you. That's how you do it. So the
Great.
Thing, okay. So what you've got to do is look at it, like I said, like a general addiction. So what you need to do is make some changes, and you might decide to ease yourself into less or absolutely no porn use at all. And you have to make goals for yourself for certain periods of time, based on whether you want to stop watching altogether or become a more moderate viewer, like I said. But you have to take on small behavioral changes at a comfortable pace. Because sometimes what happens is, you know, when we go cold turkey, we binge again.
Right.
So you have to set a goal. And let's say your goal is to watch only 3 times a week. All right. So what you could do is start by cutting your use down to a small amount of time, 3 times a week. Okay.
Mm.
A big part of this is cutting off your sources. Remove temptation to watch more often than your goal allows. So, you know, just whatever you have to do, online, just get rid of those websites. Get them out of there. I know you said you cover those things up from your wife, but you know what? These things are going to pop up. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get busted eventually.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
You know, it just happens. You're clever. It sounds like you're really a smart person and all that. And this is no judgment on you, by the way. Because there are deep problems going on. There's things that you are trying to numb and cover up. Also, what I'd do if I were you is have a medical checkup. Find out if your body and your, you know, what your labs are. Your hormonal levels, find out what's going on there, because there are medical, you know, causes to this sometimes too, that can combine with psychological addiction issues to porn. Okay. So just,
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I never
you
knew
gotta
that.
Do it. You've got to do it. You know, how old are you, by the way? I'm so sorry to didn't ask you.
Oh, it's fine. I'm 34 years old.
Okay. All right. So what you got to do is clean up your computer. You got to remove the viruses or any kind of malware that maybe give you a lot of pornographic ads, pop-ups, anything like that. Get rid of it. Okay. Try to eliminate the privacy that, you know, normally encourages you to watch. Okay. Put it in a common area of your house. You have to do these behavioral steps.
Wow.
You know, and just, you've got to just do things for you to defocus, sublimate with other things. You know, exercise more. Spend more time with friends. Defocus on this self-soothing thing. Find other things to help you self-soothe that are good for you. You know, go to the gym and start buffing up. Do things, do great workouts for yourself. Improve your work habits. Start having goals for, you know, the things you want to achieve. start spending more time with the people who really give you a lot of comfort and support. Go to a porn addiction support group. And if you can talk with your wife comfortably, don't jump into it completely and tell her about the whole daily time-consuming focus on porn. Tell her that you are a little concerned about these things. If you feel that you can talk to her comfortably, I'm all for communication, so I would say just put it out there and talk. And tell her that you need her help. It's not about her. A lot of us, you know, as women, we take it personally. Oh, I'm not sexy enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not. Not about that. It's truly not about that. It's totally something else. And like any other addiction, it is a numbing thing, although you don't feel them. But it is a way of really just covering up a lot of your inner issues. So go to a good therapist who can deal with pornography, addiction. Go to a group. There's a lot of free groups online that you can find in your area. And, you know, communicate. I would communicate lovingly, calmly with your wife about how you're trying to, you know, and it's not about her. And if she starts getting defensive and angry, which most of us do, say, let's go to a couples therapist. We'll have someone explain it to you. Or take her with you to your therapist who is a specialist in porn addiction so they can explain to her what it's about. It's not about her. You know it's not about her, right?
Of course. No, it's not. I love her very, very much. And I wouldn't want to be with another woman.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to have a life with another woman.
Yeah.
But I, as I mentioned, you know, I do fantasize about doing sexual behaviors with other women that I see just walking, or, you know, there's this one woman that worked in the office that I work at.
Okay.
And she always wears these low cut skirts, and it's very difficult for me not to fantasize and imagine what it would be like, you know, to have an experience with her.
Well, you and probably every other guy in the office who's straight. So I'm just saying, you know.
Well, not you know, I do hear that.
Yeah.
You know, but the things that I think about are not normal.
Okay.
I will say that.
Okay.
I think about doing weird things, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, thank you so much, Jacob, for helping. Do these things that I suggested for you. Take actions to start, as we call it, titrating down. Allow yourself fewer moments, less time. And it sounds to me, so you haven't acted out in real life. You haven't cheated on your wife or anything. You've just been going online, right?
Yes, I have not.
Okay.
I have not cheated.
Okay. All right.
No.
Okay. And it's getting a little weirder, because sometimes what happens, right? You said some of the porn and fantasies are getting weirder.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sometimes what happens.
And it's scaring me.
Okay.
Because I think to myself, this is not who I am.
Yeah.
But then, like I said, I got to feed the monster.
Well,
you know. And
you know the monster.
This is not who I am.
You have control over the monster. You have to just start, like I said, doing those things that I suggested to you earlier, to titrating down, taking control, going to support groups, understanding why you're doing this, and sublimating other feelings. You're pushing things down, rather. So you have to do healthier activities that are going to keep you focused and make you feel, you know, endorphins, exercising, do fun things with your friends, have more sex with your wife, do what you've got to do to feel good about yourself. And there is a lot of shame and low self-esteem and guilt in this. Just don't, you know, keep going to where it gets weirder and weirder, because, I mean, it's just, you know, it's not helping you. So remove all those situations that make it easier for you to go online and observe the porn, okay? Just try to start slowly removing those things. And take good care of yourself. And thank you so much for calling here on the couch. I really appreciate, you know, you being safe enough to call me. And I wish you all the luck in the world. Okay?
Thank you. Thank all you so much, Dr. Michelle.
Okay.
I have one more question for you, if you don't mind.
Sure. Sure.
So I really like what you said about putting the computer in a common place in the house.
Yeah.
But one of the problems with that is I always have a phone with me.
Well, of course.
And So as you know,
sure.
Phones always have internet access anywhere.
So you said you covered up all those things on your devices, right? So your wife couldn't get to your phone if you left your phone off or left it in a different place or hid your phone or whatever away from.
It's just very true.
Well, true. Don't take it with you, you know, into the bathroom. Don't take it with you into the obvious places where you always do the porn. Don't do it.
Right.
You've got to change your behaviors. The only way you can change is to change those behaviors, those things you're used to. Because the behaviors go hand in hand with the feelings and emotions as well. You know, the behaviors. You know what I'm talking about. So find, sublimate, get two things, a really good porn addiction therapist and a porn addiction support group. Verbalize what's going on if you feel safe enough to your partner. And get someone to explain to her that it really is not about her. It's about what you're pushing down. And it's about, could be medically, could also be about your habits, you know, and your hormonal issues. So check out all these things. Love you so much, Jacob. Thank you for calling in here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Best of luck. Please follow up with an email, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Let me know how you're doing. That's your homework assignment.
I will.
Those are your assignments.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you so much, Doc. This has been an extremely transformational day for me. And it's been the best. It's been the best 30 minutes of my life. Got to tell you, 30 minutes of my life.
Thank you.
This has really helped. You're amazing. Wow. Thank you so much for all that you do to help so many people.
Thanks for your courage and calling in, Jacob. All right. Take good care of yourself.
All right. Thank you, Doc. Love you.
You got it. Love you. Bye-bye. Okay, there you go. See, that's what happens here on the couch. You never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to call in or some of the emails that I receive. And again, you and I don't have a therapeutic relationship out there in the world. I'm just giving you suggestions, ideas, help from all of my experience that I know. That's it. That's my disclaimer. But I love you all and I appreciate your feeling safe enough to write me and call me. Thank you, Jacob, again. So what we're dealing with today are a lot of your own issues. You've written me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. I'm happy to help you out with some of the most common things that I hear in my office. So if you were a fly on the wall there, these are some of the answers that I have for you and some of the questions that you've put out there that are pretty general that I hear a lot. So here's the thing. One of my most fascinating things that I hear all the time is about self-esteem, especially being here in Los Angeles. Now, I say that because this is the entertainment capital of the world. So we have everyone trying to look good. Everybody's trying to look fine and beautiful and wonderful and all that stuff. So it's really difficult sort of when you're a single person because you got to be beautiful people. Are you a social media star? You're going to be popular. You're going to get a lot of responses. But the thing is most of us aren't. So I'm going to read this email here. And it's from Angie. Angie, thanks so much for reaching out here on LA Talk Radio. So she says, it's really hard being a single woman in Los Angeles. I just quoted you. I moved here from Texas about 3 years ago when I got a job with a startup entertainment company. In terms of my looks, I've been told I'm a 7, but I'm always comparing myself to other women. I hate these numbers. 1 to 10. What is that? I hate that. I'm not in perfect shape and could lose about 10 pounds. It's so hard to date here because there's such an emphasis on beauty and being sexy. I also don't think that I'm interesting enough or smart enough. Angie. I guess you could say that I have low self-esteem. I'm always comparing myself to other women, and when someone I've dated a few times ghosts me, I really feel bad about myself. I fear I'm going to be this 35-year-old who just keeps dating and can't find anyone special because I'm not special enough. Can you help me with my self-esteem? Yes, get out of Los Angeles. All right, next call. No. It's tough here because, I mean, it is. It's tough everywhere in the world. It's everybody's got to look great, sexy, beautiful, hot, be interesting. You know, it's a self-promotional thing, being a social star media. Yeah, it's tough. Makes us all feel really bad because we're not all having fun like everyone else seems to be. Looking sexy, perfect, having great guys or girls around us. And okay, some of it's real, most of it's not. So I want you to know, and you know that, Angie. Come on now, don't buy into this. You know, don't be checking other people's exciting lives anymore. You know, I try to, like, say, keep that on the, you know, side there. Don't do that. Don't compare yourself. It can really affect every facet of your life if you have low self-esteem. And it can affect your relationships. People pick it up. You know, it's primitive senses. When we're dating somebody and we're going out with them, they can either pick up usually that we're kind of being on and phony, or they can pick up that we have low self-esteem a lot of times. I don't know. You know, I'm not criticizing you. We all do it. We all have, you know, low self-esteem in certain situations. We're not comfortable about job interviews or about someone we're meeting or, you know, whatever, public speaking or parties or whatever it could be. So it can affect every facet of our lives. I don't know. You know, this sounds like it's your relationship stuff. And it can also mess up your health. So you can take steps to boost your own self-esteem. Okay? So just be aware of your thoughts and beliefs. All right, Angie? Just think of some of these thoughts and beliefs. Pay attention to those things, like self-talk, what you tell yourself, your interpretation. You know, I'm not pretty as... Oh, she looks like she's having a great time. She's always got cute guys around her. She's really pretty. You know, I always see this friend of my friend, and she's awesome. So just kind of take a look at the rationality of some of your thoughts. And look at some of the irrational parts of it. The false ideas, the reality of social media, okay? And I want you to challenge some of the negative or inaccurate thinking that you have. So your initial thoughts might not only be the only possible way to view a situation. So just kind of test the accuracy of your thoughts. You know, ask yourself whether your view is consistent with facts or logic, or just really challenge yourself. Okay? Everybody has low self-esteem. Everybody has issues. Everybody has something about themselves they don't like. So join the club. But what you have to do is just really say, you know what, I'm okay with who I am no matter what. If you feel you have to lose 10 pounds, do it, girl. Go to that gym and do it. Input versus output. Get more exercise, feel good about yourself, get toned. Yeah, you have like comfort eating. Yeah, we know that. We all do that. What do you want to look like? What do you want to feel within? Okay? A lot of people don't get it. It's that they want to look good on the outside, and that'll make them feel better. Sure, that helps a little bit. But you got to like who you are first on the inside. We all know that. No brainer. So I want you to do some things that make you feel good about yourself. So, Angie, go to a self-esteem specialist therapist. That's really great. Okay? Sometimes we think we're worthless because we aren't perfect. Anybody I've talked to who's successful will tell you that they reach success on the stepping stones of not feeling good about themselves and growing to feeling really okay about who they are. We all make mistakes. We all do stuff at work. We all do goof-ups with relationships. Somebody ghosts us, what did I do? What did I say? That's not the right people for you yet. You're not ready, girl. Low self-esteem is the result of years of messed up thinking. Maybe something from your past contributed to your feeling lesser than. And you're still having events such as people, after you're dating them, ghosting you. Okay? It doesn't mean anything. Just find out how you are maybe projecting who you are. You've got to be you. And if somebody ghosts you, they don't like you, that's good. You don't want to be with somebody who doesn't want you. Beauty is overrated. Yeah. In my research on self-esteem, I found that most people don't really like their appearance and they feel bad about themselves. There's always something wrong. You know, even the top models, right? Oh, I just don't like this. Really? You know, everybody has issues. Everybody has those same feelings. Just try to be the best you can and love that which you are. And comparing yourself is really toxic. I mean, really, how much time do you spend comparing yourself to other people and how they look, or, you know, how much fun they're having? It's a PR campaign, social media online. So it's all it is. Appearances are deceptive. You know, stop comparing yourself to others. Be okay with who you are. Take good care of yourself physically. get the energy you need. Most of your fears are illusions. Your fear, I'm not going to be, you know, I'm going to be too old. I'm going to be like this 35-year-old person that never finds someone. I'm never special enough. No, stop that thinking. Stop it. Write down all the great things that you love about yourself. Focus on those every day. And I don't care how small they are. I like my eyebrows. Yeah, you go, girl. It's really hard keeping those eyebrows looking good. Whatever you can find, write them down. Make a huge list and look at them every time you start to feel down about yourself. Before you go out with your friends, you read those things. I am good. I like this about me. I'm working on myself. You need to empower yourself, get control over those thoughts and feelings. It's all going to be okay. The people who are okay with themselves on the inside do much better in the world because they're projecting it on the outside. And I don't care if you're a 7, whatever the hell that means. I'm sorry. I just, come on. You know? Think about the behavioral and emotional things that you're projecting and be okay with who you are. And once you're okay with that inside, you're going to project it on the outside. And everybody's going to look at you as a 10. It's because who you are in the core of your being. All right, Angie? Love you. Thank you for emailing me. I really appreciate that. Hope I helped you out, guys. And also, like I said, get a really good therapist who specializes in self-esteem in your area. It's a great way to do it. You know, get some help on that end. All right. Okay. This is Dr. Michelle. You're on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, the world's most irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk radio station. And what I'm doing today is I'm taking your emails and live calls, and I'm answering your questions. We don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm just giving you ideas, suggestions, helpful hints, answers to your worldly dilemmas. And I'm not a, you know, I'm just here trying to help you out if you have any questions. I have quite a few, but what I do is I try to just sort of get the most general questions and share them with you that I hear most of the time. So a lot of us can benefit from them, you know, listening out there. And I always invite you to write me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. I have several other emails I'd like to get to. The phone number here live is 323-203-0815. But what I'm doing is I'm just kind of trying to, you know, get through some of your emails. So I'd really like to do that. Okay. Let's see here. All righty. This is nice. Okay. Let's go to it. This is Brittany. Brittany. Hey, Doc, I've been dating this guy for the past 8 years. Oh, 8 years? Wait, scratch that. 8 months. Let me put my glasses on here. Hold on. I've been dating this guy for the past 8 months. He has a lot of great qualities that I like. He's pretty, cute, nice, fun, has a good job. The only problem is that we seem to be getting in a lot of stupid arguments for the past several months. All right. I'm not sure if he's beginning to become disinterested, or if the fun part of our relationship has worn off, or what's going on. When I ask him if there's something I've done wrong, he gets defensive and says that he's overwhelmed with work and I need to understand and not be so, ooh, wow, not be so angry and have such low self-esteem. She says, I don't like conflict and find myself arguing with him about things that he says that hurt me. Or when he doesn't text me back all day when I've reached out several times. And when he texts back, it's with one or two words. Sound familiar? And guys, listen, I'm not dumping on you. You know, it seems like we have some women writing today. I love you guys. I'm not dumping on you. But this is what I hear a lot of. You know, men are to the point. You know, it's called guy text. It's what it is. They don't have the warm, fuzzy feelings most of the time. And that's okay. It's normal. But she said we're together every weekend and may get together during the middle of the week because we both work crazy long hour jobs. Can you give me some tips on how to create a more peaceful and healthy relationship? I feel like maybe I might not be as nice as I thought I was, and I'm doing some things that might be messing up this relationship. Britt. All right. Thank you so much for emailing me here at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Appreciate that. appreciate you reaching out. Well, I don't know what to tell you because I'm not getting enough information here. But what I understand is when you ask this guy that you've been dating for the past 8 months, you know, if there's something that you're doing wrong, he gets defensive and angry. So what you need to do is back off on that a little bit. And if you're still enjoying each other and having fun and with each other every weekend and sometimes during the middle of the week, but you both are working and overwhelmed, you've got to know that you're tired. He's tired, too. So where we go a lot of times as women is he's cheating on me. I know he's cheating on me. That's it. That's where we go. So what you have to do is you've got to have a little more faith in him and in the relationship. I mean, you got to ask yourself, how can you contribute to a good relationship? What are some of the things that you can do to, you know, contribute to better communication, more loving relationship? Try to give him the benefit of the doubt. If you keep asking him, is there something I did wrong? Did I make you feel weird? Did I know his style? Sometimes when we start off in relationships and it's romance and the fireworks and all that, yeah, we're texting each other a lot more. That's the way it is. Sometimes we back off because we get a little more comfortable and we don't feel like we have to keep up with that all the time. So just try to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, if you both are working, like I said, like crazy, you're tired. And if you have good weekends, enjoy. He's with you, right? So far as you know. I want you to kind of think about looking at yourself for the problem first. So, you know, when you feel unhappy with yourself, it's easy to find something wrong in a relationship. You got to remember this. If you're kind of blaming another person for what you're feeling, or it's he's pulling away, or he's not texting you as much, if he keeps saying, I really love you, I really care for you, I want to be with you, and you keep saying, you got to sit down and say, I just kind of appreciate it if you check in more often. That'd be kind of cool. Because sometimes people feel like, oh, please, I'm so focused on work. This is, you're pulling at me here. Don't be so needy. It's tough. We would like a little more communication, texting, things like that. But, you know, just don't blame him for your feelings. Find out if you just might be feeling a little insecure. Are there things going on in your life around your work situation? Do you have some low self-esteem? As I was just talking to Angie about. Okay. Also, kind of choose your battles. You said you were fighting about stupid things. You know, there's things you can do. You can just be more compassionate and clear instead of arguing. You can let that go. You can lose your, you know, trying to fight and win the argument. You can be a little more vulnerable. Open up. You can think before acting on emotion. You know, we as women sometimes, and I don't mean to be sexist, but we do. We act on emotion a lot more. We just do. You know, we're more emotional beings. Okay? And, you know, you've got to just enjoy being with him and have fun. Look at yourself. And if you're really seeing signs where he's pulling away from you, you need to sit down and talk with him lovingly and say, you know, I'm feeling like there are things that are indicators that you might be defocused on us. Share that with him and say, please don't, you know, lash out with me angrily, because it's making me think that, yeah, you are doing something else. So you are interested in someone else. Let's just sit and talk about it. And if it's my insecurity, I'm going to get some therapy. I'm going to get some help because I need to work on this. You know, sometimes when we get into relationships that last, you know, and you said, what, how long? 8 months. That's pretty good. He's with you. He wants to be with you. You're with each other a lot, seemingly, when you can, because you're busy people, like I said. You just have to, you know, realize that if he's happy with you, and he says he is, he is. If he's spending time with you and you guys are having fun, and the only time you're not having fun is when you're arguing with him about how much attention he's not paying to you, this could be a big problem. Enjoy him. Be with him. You know? And if you're feeling too uncomfortable and that he may be defocusing or losing interest, then maybe you should pull back a little bit and be honest about it. I'm all for honesty and communication. He may not want to go to a couples therapist with you to talk out some of these fears and feelings. But work on yourself, hon. That's the way to go, because you'll feel much better about you. And listen to the show again, because all of my shows are up in the archive as soon as I get off the air. And all the information about the show will be up for you to know what we talked about today, too, as soon as I get off the air. And all my shows are also on iTunes podcast, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. It's about that time to say bye-bye. All right. We've had fun. I appreciate you guys writing in. I appreciate you calling in. And hope I helped you with some of your issues. Next week, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to answer those questions for you, make you feel a little better. Suggestions, ideas, help you with your dilemmas. All right, this is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and thanks for being on the couch. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, see, and then you'll be great for other people. And that's the way it works in the world, you know. All right, have a good one. Love y'all. Bye-bye.